Our Father, thank you so much for this study tonight. We pray that it would have an impact on people's hearts and minds and help us, Father, be open to receive instruction and receive what the Bible says about communication. And help us be wise. Help us make the changes in our life that need to be made. And we pray that, Father, you'd be glorified in this. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice if you would, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Thank you. You may be seated. So God tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Now, well, you know what it means? It means don't say things that are wrong. And we have to be very careful because out of the abundance of the heart speaketh. So, you know, the idea is that man has a need to be loved and to for others to communicate with them and talk and so on. And the Lord illustrates this when he said it's not good for man to be alone. And may I say this, that I know there's different situations in people's lives, and some people are by themselves. They've been through, you know, a separation in life and in marriage, and maybe some young people, you know, with a parent missing and so on. But the bottom line is this, this message is for everyone. And young people need to know how to talk to their parents. Parents need to know how to talk to the young people. They need to know how to communicate. And may I say this, I want to address this to you, Frank and Melissa. You know, you got a brand new baby there. You got to talk to him. I know you do. But that's how they learn. You've got to communicate. I remember years ago, my wife and I had met someone, and their child didn't speak. And my wife was asked questions. Well, one thing, the mother never spoke to him. There was no communication. And the child didn't speak for 3 or 4 years. Well, you got to talk to your child, amen? You got to talk to your spouse. You got to talk to your parents. And communication is essential in our lives. And you know what people have said because of coronavirus, a lot of people are shut in, and they're not communicating with others, and they're alone, and there's all sorts of problems with that. Young people have problems. Parents have problems. People, individuals have problems. And so if you know someone who's not being talked to or talk with, communicate with them. I think it's very important that we do that. So we see the Lord illustrate this when he says it's not good for man to be alone. And we should share ideas and feelings and heart thoughts and future and etc. I believe one of the most important and yet most threatening problems in our marriages, in our families, is the lack of communication. The lack of communication is one of the biggest threats to the strength and stability in a family, the well-being of a home. And so we've got to communicate. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit about the lack of communication just a bit, but communication is understanding and being understood. And when you communicate with your spouse, whether a husband communicating with his wife, the wife communicating with the husband, it's not, you know, telling her or telling him, but rather communicating, sharing stories, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts. And most husbands, wives don't understand each other. And next thing you know, the result is tension and strife. Parents get upset with each other, and a great deal, and then unhappiness comes into the home, and the idea of losing closeness and you know, warmth, and many times when we don't communicate, there's a failure in that marriage, and separation begins, and next thing you know, they're not talking to each other, and they're not investing in each other, not interested in each other. There's a great problem in communication, and it results in fewer attachments with each other, and then before you know, the home is separated, parents depart from each other, etc., etc. So on the first page, you see the need to learn the fine art of communication. I just want to read through a few of these just to give us a head start in this lesson. And letter A, speech is a main means of communication. If it is a speech with each other that we share ideas and hopes and dreams. And this is, you know, Liz and I, when we first got married, we were in the, I was in the Air Force. And I brought my wife to North Dakota. You said, where? North Dakota. I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere. And we were in a town, but it was, we didn't have any relatives. We didn't have a whole lot of friends. I had some friends from the military that used to come over, and Liz was called on to cook. But we were by ourselves. And you know what we learned? Communication. We didn't have a TV. You know, we didn't have these, what we call necessities. We had each other. And so we talked. And to me, that was the foundation for such a wonderful marriage. And I've been married to, what, 2 years now? I mean, it's been great. So, you know, we're 44 years, and, you know, I've known Liz for 49 years. I don't know how that all worked, to being 21 years old as she is, but it works. Amen? And so that was the basis. And we've talked our whole lives. Liz came down to my study today, and she came down in the afternoon, and we sat there and talked for about 45 minutes, an hour. We just communicated about everything. But that's the reason we can go back and say, well, we didn't have that. Well, then start today. Start tonight. Don't give up the ship because, oh, I didn't have that. Well, you got to make things up. Not make things up, but you got to communicate and starting now, right? Make up lost time. So, number two, is here we learn what others are thinking in our communication, offenses are, and where we stand on the issues of life. And it's very important, parents, that you communicate with your children. And the idea is, why do you want to communicate? Well, you want them to understand what communication is. You want them to learn. You want them to express. You know, some people say, what's your son do? What's your daughter do? I don't know. They don't talk. Well, do you talk to them? That's important. A mother's got to talk to her son and daughter. A father has got to talk to the son and daughter. And number three, it's conversation. We build friendships and develop ideas, relationships, and understand why we act the way we do. Number four, it's speaking that we solve differences with one another and reach agreements in our lives. So, you know, you have two different people, two different backgrounds, husband, wife, and two different upbringings probably, and they're going to all of a sudden get married and everything's going to be well. No, they've got to talk things out. Hopefully they're taught before marriage. And find out what you believe and what you think about in all facets of society. And then you after you get married, you want to continue speaking and communicating. You want to, when you bring children in the world, you want to communicate with them. And that's essential, beloved. Conversing others, who wrote this? I don't know. Anyway, the opportunity of offering and receiving corrections, advice, and counsel. So again, you know, my wife and I, our daughters, our sons, we grew up communicating as a family. It was natural. Lots of times we came out here in 85, we had our living room, and we would sit down many times in the evening and just talk. And then once we built the porch, how many remember the porch in the back? It was a great place. We went outside for almost three seasons, spring, summer, and fall. We talked. We communicated. And it was a wonderful experience. And some of you came over and experienced that with us. But that's what a family does. You've got to understand. You've got to communicate. You find out what's going on with one another. And number seven, the language enables us to encourage and comfort one another. Number eight, by talking with each other, forgive, soothe, and provoke each other to good works, to do good. And that's what we do. And that's why it's so important to invest. I'll tell you this. I know this to be true. When you have young children, sometimes they'll gravitate towards someone. You know who they're gravitating to? Someone who's asking them, someone who's communicating with them, what's going on in that gray matter, the brain? What are you thinking of? What are you thinking of? How do you feel about that? Kids want to talk. Kids will talk. You say, well, this one doesn't. I'll tell you this much. If I was around for a few minutes, my wife was around, they talk. I can tell you this, over the years, we have all sorts of young people come to our house. You know what they did? They communicated. That's why our kids love Camp Shiloh, because the focus is on them. And they communicated, told us their hearts, their thoughts, and etc. And that's what kids want. That's what parents need. So it's essential that we communicate with our kids. By talking, we can clear up misunderstanding, give instruction, establish limitation, and paint mental pictures. Good communication can work wonders in a home. Let it be, throughout the Bible, you see where good conversation served as a vital link of understanding people. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So God is speaking to us. Hey, let's work this out. I want you to understand, let's reason this thing out. Why? Because you're in sin. You're separated. You're lost. And if you come, you know, he says, come now. And so the idea is to come to Christ. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the word of God's very comforting. How many times are people speaking about, I was in the book of Psalms and God spoke to my heart and gave me great comfort. That's what the Word of God does. Why is that? Because God's speaking to you. We need to speak to one another. And then Jesus, our Lord, communicated with individuals and his disciples and the multitudes. Now, number four, the means by which people make themselves known to each other, who share messages, solve problems, they have plans between each other. They give instruction, and hopefully they'll spend more time together. And I'll tell you, beloved, if you learn to speak, you say, well, my husband, my wife, everyone's got to change. If you're not a talker, become a talker. God communicates with us. He did it with 66 books in the Bible. We want to communicate with each other. Amen? So, and you say, well, and there's nothing to say. Look, there's plenty to say. Let us see, silence or the cutting off of communication drives people apart. And I can tell you, I've counseled many, many couples who were about to separate, or they had some serious problems, and one of them, he wouldn't talk to me. He doesn't talk to me. So, number one, silence or communication breakdowns drive people apart. Husbands and wives must know what each other is doing and thinking. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen, beloved. And this is a fact. It's not going to be all of a sudden a shock. It's common sense. You get on Facebook, what are you doing? Communicate with everyone. You're giving wives and women your thoughts. Giving men your thoughts. You should take those thoughts, get off Facebook, and go talk to your husband, go talk to your wife. That's what you should do. You want to say, well, you know, it doesn't work out that way, preacher. It will if you talk to them. And I'll guarantee you, if there's people here tonight who have a broken home, you go back and it was a lack of communication. That was one of the problems. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible spoke about Adam and Eve, and he said, they shall be one. They were going to be one. And if there is no communication, no shared ground, then the two are not one. And the less they communicate, and the less they share, the less they have in common. And more separated, and each one will become each couple will become divided. And the strange set of events very often occurs when you do not communicate with one another, the problems of communication that they build up, the lack thereof. And next thing you know, divisions here and these molehills become mountains. And next thing you know, they're on Facebook or whatever the internet is, and they're going to be looking for someone else. And that's absolutely tragic. You know, you invest in one another. You care, you communicate. And let me tell you about communication. The lack of communication leads to heartache and trouble. Letter A, failing to listen destroys real communication. And, you know, how many times I've heard women or men say, well, he didn't listen to me. She didn't listen to me. And many want others to listen, but they themselves are not listening. Sometimes there's one-sided. The Bible calls these folks dull of hearing. In Hebrews 5:11, they're dull of hearing. It's just, yeah, no, 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 no. And it's not right. You know, one thing about Jesus Christ, he had interest in others. And a lot of it has to do with being Christ-like and godly. Now, I don't want to hear about the kids. Well, they're your kids. I mean, aren't you part of the family? They're your kids. And so you need to hear about them. Well, all I hear is negative. All right, well then do something to make them positive. They don't know what the other person has to say and what merit they have to add to that communication. Number two, not truly listening to the other person is unchristlike, is ungodly. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Now wait a second. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. That's communication. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek, knock and shall be opened, and you'll seek and you shall find. So God tells us it's important to communicate. We communicate with God, we ought to communicate with one another. Now, number three, several reasons why people don't listen. Letter A, their mind is already made up. Let's look at a little Bible study here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs chapter 21. And notice, if you would, verse 2. Bible says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth his heart. So some people think they're always right. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. And the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So I've counseled for many years. I've done it for 35 years I've counseled. I did it back in my home church. And you listen to people. And they're conversing to you. They're telling you their woes. What if I just sat there and just dreamed about other things and didn't listen? Say, what was that? And they're bearing their heart to me. So you want to be a good listener. A wise man's going to listen. Husband, you want to be a wise man. Not a wise guy, a wise man. And ladies, you also want to be wise. You want to listen. The Bible goes on and tells us in Proverbs 15, let's look at that, Proverbs 15 and verse 5. Remember I told you back last Sunday in Sunday school, gentlemen, about the importance of reading a proverb a day. And there's so much wisdom here. Notice verse 5 of chapter 15, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So again, if you're not going to listen to your father, you're being foolish. And then notice verse 31 and 32, the same chapter. 31, the Bible says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So we got to listen and be willing to receive the reproof. And then verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Again, these are building blocks. in communication, also wisdom. And that's what God tells us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, thank you. And then letter B, the smarter than everyone else. And that's people who don't listen. Oh, they're smarter than everyone else. I knew a woman who wouldn't listen. She had the answer ready, and you know, she wasn't listening. She was thinking about what she's going to say back. That's not what we do. In a husband-wife situation, a family situation, there's an interaction. You're saying something, and then the other member of the family is responding to you. And you want to have a peaceful conversation. And that's communication. It's not listening, oh, you know, you're just rebellious, you're wrong, you know, you're being proud. Stop. Put down the gauntlet. Put down the weapons. And open your life, your heart, and communicate to each other. Don't be fighting, fussing. It gets people nowhere. Nowhere. Then the brainiac says, well, we always like making up. You know, you're better off not having to make up. Just live in peace with one another. So, and then third of all, they're thinking already to what they're going to say. You know what that is? That's nothing but downright dirty pride. That's what it is. I got an answer. Here's a comeback. Is that what communication is? Comebacks? Or is it listening? Trying to understand? And then doing God's will for your life. Letter D, sometimes people are always speaking. They weigh the whole case and give the verdict. They're always speaking. They have the whole thing worked out. You got to listen, beloved. Because I tell you this, I remember in my younger years, you know, because I was so busy, I wasn't listening. I said, oh, I know what you're doing. So then you got to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, Dad, you didn't hear what I said. What'd you say? And then they told me, I said, oh. So you got to listen, beloved. James says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and what? You guys need to read the Bibles. I do too. The slow to anger, that's what it is. So it's important that we listen to people. And just because you may think you know, doesn't mean you do. So let's look at number four. The real conversation and communication is speaking and listening. Dealing with what would, dealing when you only listen is not good enough. You got to respond. You got to speak. Then you say, well, I want to think about it. Oh, that's fine. Then communicate that. Number five, listening involves more than hearing words. This is interesting. Letter A, gestures, facial expressions, voice, maybe inflections. The spirit in which a person speaks tells us much more what a person says. So when I meet with people, I don't want to have to talk them over phone if something's real serious. Why? Because I look for these outward indications. Facial expressions. You're rolling the eyes. You know, closing up. Those are important to people being counseled. People get into a place where they're going to communicate, and they're speaking volumes by doing these things. Now, sometimes in the winter, I'm cold, I, you know, fold my arms, but most times I'm very open when I talk to people. I'm not closed. I want to communicate. I want to know what you think and what's going on in your life. Then, second of all, learn to listen, which we've been over that before. Observe all that a person says with their mouth, their hands, their face, they're told a picture. You know, my wife got into body language a couple of years ago. She was reading up on it. And I tried to straighten out my life best I could so I wouldn't be, no. But it was interesting. I always said, what's she doing? And, you know, your feet. You know, we've dealt with people in our kitchen before. And when they stand there, if their foot is pointing out, they don't want to be there. Now, they may be saying, oh, it's great to see you, but if their foot's pointing out, they want to be gone. I love it. Because they don't know, but we know. Amen? But anyway, body language is very important. Then there's clusters with body language. So when I'm dealing with people, when I'm communicating, church members, non-church members, and so on, I'm looking for these things. And, you know, it's really interesting. But anyway, let us see the person who talks but never listens become very offensive and obnoxious. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, please. Proverbs 11. And notice, if you would, verse 22. Proverbs 11 and verse 22. And the Bible says in verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. All right? So you don't want to be like the jewel of gold in a swine's snout. If you don't have discretion, you need to learn to get some. Then we see, contrast that with chapter 25 of Proverbs. And notice, if you would, verse 11. Chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. So there's a contrast between gold and a swine snout, and then a words fitly spoken. And that goes for the men and women. Let it be failing to have an understanding spirit in communication. So many don't try to understand what the person is saying. And may I say this? That's ungodly. That's the opposite of God. God says, cast all your care upon Him. Why? Why did God say that? Because He cares for us. If you really care about people, if you're really concerned about your spouse, your children, your parents, you're going to make sure that you're going to understand what they're trying to say. How long has it been since you tried to understand your spouse, your children, your parents, etc.? And, well, I was offended. Well, that's not going to be the first time you're offended. Get over it. Number two, when one is speaking, try to understand where they're coming from. Notice, if you would, the book of Psalms 39. Psalm 39, please. And notice verse 1. Psalm 39 and verse 1. And the Bible says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. So the psalmist understood that he's going to be very careful how he communicates. And again, we have to have understanding. We have to understand that person. And again, I'm not just speaking about your spouse, your children, your parents. Could be anyone. That's important in a church, that people learn to listen and communicate. And then number three, misinterpretations can take place. So this is where you get your feathers ruffled. Understand what your spouse is saying, your pastor is saying, a friend is saying. Don't be offended right away. Oh, I'm offended. May I say this? That can be very shallow. You're always looking for offense. That's not how you live, beloved. You need to live in love. You need to love one another. And when people may say something wrong, and you know, people have said a lot of dumb things to the pastor at times. I just chalk it up to experience. You know, that was dumb. I didn't tell him that, but it was dumb, But I'm not going to take offense of it. Number four, we need to understand, have an understanding spirit. When words don't come out of them the way you want them to, sometimes we're intolerant of each other. So be patient. Let us see failing to care and show concerning failing to care and show concern hinders communication. So number one, speak with respect to others. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, a husband and wife are to submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. That's how we should live, beloved. We're not to be flippant. We're not to be off the cuff. We're not to be, cutting people down, and we'll get into that in just a moment. We're not to find fault with others. But here's another thought. Don't be crude. Don't be harsh. You're defeating, in trying to communicate with others. And when you come across that way, it's not manly. I don't say, oh, you're cute. Okay, come closer. Tell me some stuff. Who wants to listen to that stuff? It's important to be a gentleman. Be a lady. I know Christ was a gentleman. Again, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Well, that's the way men really are. Not this man. So we want to be careful. Number two, every cruel, hard, and thoughtless words can be a wedge between you and your spouse, between you and someone else. So you don't want to be that way, beloved. And there's something very bad with one's spirit when they speak this way. Let's look at a few verses here, Proverbs 8. Let's turn there, please. Proverbs 8. And notice verse 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So again, we're not to be, speaking off the cuff or, being a, harsh in our language. Notice chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. And pick up here in verse 4. God's word says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's always good to speak and speak good things and kind things and thoughtful things. It's a tree of life. You don't want to just be negative and foul and filthy and so on. So number four, cutting remarks. Someone has personal flaws or they find fault with them. They can be slanderous remarks. They can have an evil effect on that person. So, if when you're with someone privately, they're a new convert, they're just new to coming to church and speaking off color, you need to correct them. Say, we don't talk that way around here. Put a big smile on your face. We don't talk that way around here. You want to be straightforward. You don't want to, when they start talking to women that way. I don't want people to talk to my wife, let alone any other woman in our church that way. Amen. And number five, the tongue can destroy. So let's go to Proverbs 8, if you would. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. And the Bible says in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that findeth knowledge. And then the Bible tells us in James chapter 3, the tongue, it can be a fire. It can be like a fire that destroys. So we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be gossiping. We don't want to be demeaning. We don't want to cut people down. Even if you fool around, it's not the best. Little D, failing to be slow to speak in his communication. Now, most are fast to speak. And the Bible tells us this in chapter 5 of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. So God tells us here, you got to be very careful in speaking. We don't think that the effect of may have on a person. It could be very destructive to an individual, and you have to learn that. You learn to, you know, not be so hasty when you speak and when you remark. Sometimes we can say thoughtless words, and many times we add a fuel to the fire. And notice Proverbs 26, please. Proverbs chapter 26. And notice verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. And the Bible tells us, sorry about that, verse 20, where no wit is, there the fire goeth out. So again, you know, if you're saying things that are going to be destructive or not communicating properly or offensive, you know, what you're doing is you're making sure there's wood there, and the fire's going to stay lit. So let's stop here, if you would, and we'll pick this up Sunday afternoon. We'll take the rest of this, and we got almost three pages, and we'll go through this. I trust it was a blessing to you. Let's stand to your feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father.